Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, Alarmy, check out Alarmist on Patreon for ad-free episodes and bonus content. Here's a preview of our guest Alarmist series, only on Patreon.
Like, what is that instinct that made you run to the bathroom?
Shame. Oh, 100%. I felt so ashamed. This is like, she was like an older woman too.
Right.
And she had this like,
you were disgracing her.
She was disgraced. Like, make no mistake. If she came in with grace, she was disgraced.
Yes.
Go to patreon.com/thealarmist and subscribe today. Now, on to our episode. Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning to this episode of The Aftermath. Today we're speaking with guest expert Robbie Forehouse. Robbie is an author, professor, and communications strategist. He's also the co-owner of Laboo.com, a gift-giving website. Let's hear what he has to say about the Super Bowl 38 halftime show controversy. And if you'd like to hear our post-interview discussion, join us on Patreon for the full episode. Hi, Robbie. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Rebecca. It's good to be here.
So before we jump in, I wanted to, have you explain to our listeners what it is that you do exactly. I think it's very interesting.
Oh, thank you. I'm a journalist by training, and I'm a truth cop. And I travel around the world talking to and helping famous people, colleges, boards, brands. If they get into a reputational crisis, if their communication isn't resonating, if a celebrity has been doing this and making a lot of money and just feeling that they just haven't been able to speak their truth, that's my job. So we all want where our lives are our story, and most of us don't know how to tell our life story. So that's what I do.
So. Can you give us, just jumping in, can you give us an idea of how much time and effort it is to put on the Super Bowl halftime show for producers and for artists and for everyone involved? How important are these 12 to 15 minutes?
Well, life is just a few moments, and those and everything else is just a reflection. It's like being a grandfather and saying, when I was younger, do you know that this happened? And you go through your life like that. With the Super Bowl, it's everything. It is the epitome. It is the it's the essence. It is the highlight of anyone, whether you're a producer, director, performer, makeup artist. It's like being the president of the United States. It's like being winning an Oscar. This is the moment where over 100 million people are focused on you, and it has to be perfect. Has to be. It's a lot of pressure, Rebecca. I mean, it's just, and it takes, and your question is, how long does it take? People have been training for their lifetime to prepare for who's going to be there. They're already in discussions on who's going to be the next performer for 2025, right? So it's like the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day Parade. It is a 12-month, 365-day event out of the year.
I can't imagine. A lot of pressure.
Tremendous amount. Tremendous
yes.
amount.
Can you give us some history as well on the FCC and their policing of network programming? I think it's important that we understand when it was put in place and why.
Sure. So the Federal Communications Commission is an evolution of the Radio Communications Commission.
Okay.
Started in the 30s, and the purposes were that in broadcast television, and it's important to know that it's different than terrestrial, than streaming, than cable. In broadcast television, the airwaves are supposedly owned by the public. And the FCC was established for purposes of to balance free speech, but also to protect the public. So when it was started, there were rules and regulations, which led to internally at networks called standards and practices that you had to adhere to in order to maintain your license in order to broadcast, which is where the public service announcements came from. So television stations, broadcast TV stations, had to have a certain amount of time allocated for public service announcements. So that's when you got, you know, just say no and don't drink and drive, and they don't have to pay for that because it's done as a public service. So the joke is that in the early days and now after the Super Bowl event in 2004, we have freedom of speech. We may not have freedom after speech, but we have freedom of speech.
And can you also, for context, explain to us what the Parents Television Council is? What is their main role and function?
Yeah, so the Parents Television Council has changed their name. It's now the Parents Television and Media Council. It's controversial. Started in the mid-90s, I think 1995, by a conservative activist who believed that the airwaves were hurting our kids, was dirty, some of the things, it was disruptive, it was not Christ-like. And they started in an effort to protect the airwaves so that our children and our families could have, and again, we're familiar with the phrase, family values. They have, you know, for those who are on the left, who are liberal, who believe that we should be showing real life, they feel that they're hypocritical. They feel that they're, you know, again, Rebecca, I don't know if you remember this, but there for a long time, in the 60s and 70s, we weren't allowed to show a toilet on television. We weren't allowed, Mary Tyler Moore and Dick Van Dyke were not allowed to be seen in the same bed. You could never show anyone peeing. You couldn't, and certainly not anything else. And there was this sense that again, families were white and families were nuclear. It was always a mom and a dad. And if you look at, you know, the council today, and I, again, it's interesting to me, their entire corporate structure are white men, you know, and here they are protecting family values, but they don't have a woman. They don't have anyone of color on their corporate boards. And I'm sure after they hear this, they're going to say, well, maybe we ought to, but so they were, when this event with Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake happened, this was their meet. They were ready to go. They had been after CBS and MTV and the NFL, and they had warned them. They said, you know, we don't like what we're seeing. We don't like the sexualized content. And, you know, so, you know, that's what they did.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So getting down specifically with the Super Bowl 38 halftime show, so from what we understand in preparation, Justin was supposed to rip Janet Jackson's skirt off at the end of the performance, revealing a bodysuit during the line. And it was decided during the dress rehearsal that it didn't work. Is it common for there to be last minute changes in performances, and does anyone need to approve any of these changes?
Rebecca, I can't. It should have been, because it was prior, and certainly now, every single second is choreographed and approved.
Right.
I mean, there are lawyers, there are agents, there are record companies, there are TV executives, there are NFL executives, there are Writers Guild, Directors Guild. So many people are involved, from who's choosing it to what's going to be going out on the air. Everything is scripted. And it was the case with this event. Now, again, one of the things that's fascinating for anyone, and I do need to say, just for disclosure, I was not advising Janet Jackson or Justin Timberlake at that time. So the Justin Timberlake had, you know, again, and I don't know, can I put this into context as to,
please.
You know, Justin Timberlake was a child star. He grew up in the church. He sang in the church. He was part of the Mickey Mouse Club. He started dating another member of the Mickey Mouse Club, which was Britney Spears. And they were a couple for quite a while. We don't know why they broke up in 2002, I believe it was. But shortly before the Super Bowl, Britney Spears and Madonna kissed on the lips passionately at the MTV Music Awards.
I remember that.
Which reportedly really upset Justin Timberlake. Not to mention the Parents Television Council and a few other people too. But it was MTV, okay? It wasn't broadcast. Number two, Justin Timberlake had just released his first album in 2002, and he was on his way to being a superstar, deservedly. So he was now on his own, had come out with his first album. He had been in Europe. They flew him in privately. He flew from Europe to L.A. and then from L.A. to Houston. He arrived only 20 minutes before the broadcast. Now, they had done and said what he was going to be doing. They had rehearsed it. And the part that you're talking about ripping away the dress, it isn't that it didn't work. It's that the censor said, we're not going to allow it. There's no way that you can do this without it being inappropriate. So they agreed that they weren't going to do it. And all he was going to do was now remember, part of the lyrics were, I'm going to have you naked by the end of this song. And I know we'll talk about this soon, this woman who was a superstar was red hot. She was highly, highly sexualized. So the fact that they chose her should have given them warning. And then what they were supposed to do is, he was going to rip off her blouse and expose a red lace bra. That was the deal. That's what was agreed on. And obviously it didn't happen.
And I mean, there's no need to go through the events that occurred. It's not even a second of, you know, what
Rebecca,
happened.
It was a half of a second. And on top of that, her breast was exposed for a half of a second, but her nipple was covered with a sun-shaped. So obviously, there was some intentionality to the fact that her breast may be exposed and was not going to show her nipple because it was this star pasty.
Right, right.
So
So it's possible that they at least just in case, you know, thought it could happen.
They were ready for this. They knew, but somebody made the decision. And again, remember, Janet Jackson, highly sexualized, 20 years older than Timberlake, 20 or so years older, at the peak of her career. The performance, now, again, we talk about controversy. Kid Rock performed in that.
Right.
He was told not to wear a flag. He cut a hole in the flag and wore the flag. And up until that performance, with minutes before, he would have been the big controversy because he denigrated a flag, an American flag. So the veterans of foreign war got all upset. But after that, within a few seconds, it was Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake.
How did Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson's response to the wardrobe mishap dictate the narrative that followed, specifically in the media?
The costume malfunction.
Yes, costume malfunction. How did they react to it, and how did the media respond, and also how would you have done it?
Well, so I would not, I would have recognized that if you're going to choose Janet Jackson, it's going to be sexualized, and having two people on the stage just increases. All crises are reduction to some form of math. So you want to mitigate your risk by eliminating. So having two people on the stage increases your risk, knowing that it's a young 21, 22-year-old hot star who's just flying in and who hasn't really rehearsed. You're setting yourself up for a lot of challenges right there. Both of them apologized. Both of them, Justin Timberlake apologized personally, but he took no credit for it. He said maybe he took 10% of the blame. Janet Jackson said, if I offended anybody, forgive me. She said it in a statement. The Emmys were the next weekend. The Grammys, excuse me. The Grammys were the next weekend. Both of them were invited. They were asked to give their apology in person. Whoever counseled, and again, I was not representing her at the time, said, don't do it. So she did not. She was disinvited. Justin Timberlake got up and apologized for anything that it did to offend him, but took no responsibility. Now, I just want to say, a few years ago, Justin Timberlake, in an Instagram post, and I'm sure your folks can find it somewhere, made a very sincere apology to both Britney Spears, because he did say some things that were out of character for someone he cared for, and also to Janet Jackson, because he did not take the blame or share the blame for that event, and kind of let her get thrown under the bus by the powers to be. She did apologize. She continued to apologize. But again, there appears to be a double standard. Again, it was her breast, and that's where the blame seems to lie, and she was punished for it for years.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah. That plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Yes. How did the FCC and the Parents Television Council react, and how did the networks respond?
So CBS was fined ultimately over $500,000, which, by the way, they never paid, and it was thrown out of court. Les Moonves was furious. Now, Les Moonves was running CBS at the time. Subsequently, he has been fired. He is part of the YouTube movement. He, you know, again, he was part of this abusing women sexually culture, and was found guilty of it and subsequently had to lose his job. But he was out for bear. He was furious because he felt that it made him and CBS look bad. The Parents Council went after all of these. I mean, they received so many donations. They went after the NFL. They went after MTV. They went after CBS. They went after the directors, the producers. They went after Janet Jackson, the record companies, Justin Timberlake. They were incensed. And the funny thing about it was most people didn't see it. It was only a half second. YouTube wasn't founded until a year later. TiVo was the big taping service, and their subscription went up dramatically because people wanted to see this incident. You know, they wanted to see this offensive breast, and boy, were they disappointed, because it wasn't that different than what most people see in a movie or, you know, in culture, an emerging culture. But what it did do was, for a time, it created a crackdown on indecency, obscenity. You know, there were some fines given out. Howard Stern, it was, you know, he was fined, and it drove him to cable, to Sirius. It was a very uncomfortable, hypocritical time when a lot of people were just covering their butts, wanted to get past this, and were really upset that this, what was really a small incident, was so blown out of proportion.
And from my perspective, I felt like she was definitely thrown under the bus.
No question.
For the benefit of all of these higher ups and all of these people who were trying to cover their butts and were, you know, for the most part, white men. And my question is, do you think the response from the media and from the producers and the executives and the audience would have been different if the performer was not Janet Jackson, if it had been someone else? So essentially, was Janet Jackson a victim of racial and gender discrimination and a victim of double standards?
Sure. And, you know, again, she's, you know, Janet Jackson didn't change Rebecca. That's the thing that's so fascinating. We, again, remind you, I'm a truth cop here. So I don't, I'm mixed religion marriage. You know, I have clients who are gay and straight. And so there's no judgment. It's what is the truth? Janet Jackson was a red hot, highly sexualized performer. That never changed. Justin Timberlake was a young upstart who was trying to break through, who obviously was upset because he felt that Britney Spears, and I'm not saying this was the only thing, but there was a lot that took place in this. Plus, they rehearsed this whole thing, but they flew him in at the last minute because they wanted him. There were so many people that made the decision that this was going to be wild. This was going to be crazy. Mm. You had Kid Rock, and then you had Justin Timberlake, who appeared, you know, as the surprise with Janet Jackson, who was already gyrating, who was already highly sexualized. And then this, and then she's the one that everyone blames? No, that wasn't fair. It wasn't right. And at the end of the day, it's not, the blame should not be placed on her.
And why is it that you think Americans are so obsessed with the nipple, controlling the exposure of nipples? What is the fear here? And has the media played a part in this?
Well, definitely. I mean, if you look, well, first of all, I'm not obsessed with the nipple. And I can tell you that there are half the American population, women, who are not obsessed with the nipple.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that there's an even larger percentage who are gay or who are in the, you know, who are liberal, who are not obsessed. I would say that, you know, again, from America has been puritanical. It has had a double standard about what we can see. Again, there is a misogynistic leaning in that certain things are all right for men, but not for women. The fact that women assert themselves, we know that, you know, burn the bra, Gloria Steinem. It's a backlash, but not from women, and certainly not from a portion of the, so. Again, I don't think we're obsessed with, I mean, I would say in my experience that if you see a woman nursing in an airport, there is a percentage of people who say, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. And there's another group of people who are going, oh, that's so sweet. So I just think that in this case, there are a lot of people that were out to get anyone.
Now, we read that this halftime show controversy can be linked to the rise in popularity of YouTube later on. I mean, you mentioned TiVo. Yep. It had a huge surge at the moment. How has this event changed the media as we know it today?
Well, broadcast TV is still occasionally they're trying to get progressive, and occasionally you'll hear the word shit. It's like, you know, and there are still people that on Saturday Night Live or something, if somebody drops the F-bomb. On the other hand, turn on streaming or cable and Game of Thrones, or, you know, people getting their heads cut off, or people having multiple sexual partners, or people showing, you know, it used to be that you couldn't show pubic hair. You know, so all bets are off. So there is, and again, a real separation of people who feel as though this is so inappropriate, even if it's on cable and streaming, and on broadcast TV, they have some of the standards have been relaxed, you know, for our time, but it's still, for people who are interested in equality, for people who are interested in freedom of speech, freedom of choice, freedom of story, it's still quite a challenge.
So Finally, we ask all of our guest experts this question. At the end of the day, if you had to pick a person or a thing, it could be a concept, that you think is to blame for the Super Bowl 38 halftime show controversy, who or what would that be?
Rebecca, I thought a lot about this. I thought about it, you know, again, you know, I was spent some time on CNN and looked at this from a truth perspective. Les Moonves is the head of CBS, approved this. They knew that this was going to be huge for their ratings. They knew all the facts, and they crossed their fingers or quietly looked away thinking, we're just going to get huge ratings, make a lot of money from our advertisers. We're going to look like heroes. Everyone's going to love the show. They're going to be talking about it. And he approved it. So at the end of the day, I would say that the president and CEO of CBS at the time, Les Moonves, is if there were one person to be held responsible, like a parent, it would be Les Moonves.
Wow. Wow. So, I mean, Robbie, thank you very much for speaking with us today and helping us understand this controversy.
Am I an alarmy now?
Yeah, I believe you are. Yeah, you have been for some time.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thanks, Robbie.
Such a fan of the show. Thank you.
If you'd like to hear our post-interview discussion and final verdict, head over to Patreon and subscribe. Your support is greatly appreciated. Check out our show notes for a link or head over to patreon.com/thealarmist. And stay tuned because next week we're going to be discussing the 1918 flu pandemic, also known as the Spanish flu. The Alarmist.
Powered by Acast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.